is smooth drag racing. But these two cars have just competed in a race. They're just testing a new course. At Long Marston, near Stratford-upon-Avon. Drag racing features many kinds of cars, and these are the Grand Prix machines of the sport. You see now as they quieten down like fierce, wild animals after their run. They go back to sleep. The engines are shut off, the parachutes have been pulled, the cars have stopped, and they return to the pits in due course to be checked over thoroughly to make sure that everything is 100%. Right now we see Dennis Priddle's Chrysler Avenger funny car. It has a big, mighty 494 cubic inch Donovan aluminium engine. It's a special racing version of the Chrysler engine, so loved by drag racers, and particularly the engine to be used in the top classes of funny car and top four. The funny cars, the plastic fantastics, the fender floppers, fiberglass replicas of production machines, but indeed only looking like them, because underneath the tube chassis, the big 8-litre supercharged nitromethane burning engine of the fuel dragster. Ross Pryor's Fast Lady Top Fuel Dragster. In the left-hand lane, Europe's quickest drag racing lady, Rosalind Pryor, housewife from Bedford. In the right-hand lane, Trevor Young, in his rear-engine top fuel dragster. An interesting comparison here between the two types of car. The slingshot in the front, and the rear-engine machine on the far side. Both cars powered by 392 cubic inch Chrysler Hemi engines. Most machines burn out to get the tyres really hot and sticky. They burn out in liquid to get the tyres spinning as they hit the dry tarmac. The tyres go into smoke as they're turning at something in the region of perhaps 100 miles an hour as they hit the dry tarmac. And the smoke, of course, indicates, well, almost combustion. And the tyres heat up very, very rapidly indeed, while practically liquid on the surface as they cross the start line, laying two big fat pats of black rubber on the ground. The dragsters are then pulled back into this. You've got sticky rubber on the tyres, those big slicks, massive donuts of tyres, and sticky rubber on the tarmac. One-to-one, the best kind of traction that can be found, and that's the name of the game. Get the car to put the power to the ground, and the power, well, 1,500 brake horsepower from each of these machines. Burnout's completed, cruise check, engine temperature, and the two machines prepare to stage, get in position for the start. The front wheels, those spindly front wheels, they are slowly to steer the car and hold the front end off the ground. Edging forward into the staging beams, cutting the light beams at the start. The Christmas tree lights flickering on to indicate they're approaching their starting position. Very, very carefully, these two drivers select their stage. The lights will run amber, green, and on the green. That's right, both cars weaving slightly, but two beautiful runs. First time out of the Long Marston strip with the Castrol Dragster Challenge. And they win. The right-hand lane for Trevor Young. He completes the course there, 1/4 mile, just 660 yards, 220 yards, 660 feet, in 4.94 seconds, with a terminal speed of 159 miles an hour. For Ross Pryor, 5.1 at 153, and the first round of Top Fuel auguring great antics for the rest of the racing here this afternoon. The Christmas tree, the starting system for drag racing. We're looking at the top of the tree here with the staging lights. Top lights come on when the cars approach the start line to warn the driver that they're practically in position. When he's in position, the second set of lights come on. If he goes too far, the next one. When they're in position, the bottom lights run. We get the amber. That is a special lamp used for handicap racing. So we ignore the top pair. We get the amber light and the green light for the pro start. The amber comes on, and the racer has the warning that he's going to get the go signal. The green light comes on, and it's go. And go you must do, because drag racing relies on the start a great deal to determine the winner. If you go before the green, you get the bottom light, the evil eye, the big red cherry, there it is, the red light, and that disqualifies you. And so for the two-wheel fraternity in drag racing, some of the finest racing in the sport to be seen comes from the motorcycle brackets. The left-hand lane, John Clift, on the correspondent. He's 28 years old and he comes from Edson. It's an 803cc capacity Puma Triumph. In the right-hand lane, Ray Feltel on penetration, 870cc, nitro burning Puma Borgo Triumph. Both bikes leading very well indeed, and a very close one at the top end. And suddenly come off Cliff's bike. He looks as though he's okay. He's looking down and shut the bike down. Perhaps it was a chain. We'll find out. Two more of the big motorbikes, the top bike elimination machines. These machines are so big that they cannot be kick-started. They are so powerful that you never turn them over. So we start them by spinning the rear wheels on a set of rollers, then bring the machine to the line after spinning the rear tire to get it sticky. And away we go with the next race in the top bike elimination. The left-hand lane, Brian Chapman on Mighty Mouse. And Brian Chapman has cut. He's had problems and has had to stop the bike. And that means it's a straight run through Paul Drake on the Chetan Phantom. So Paul getting an easy one there as his opponent bows out with mechanical problems. And Paul advances to the next round. Drag racing is just like a tennis tournament. It's a knockout session. Two bikes out or two cars, one wins and goes forward. The other one back on the trailer, he goes home. And the action continues with Jim Balkin in the left-hand lane on his double JBSA, 350cc sprint machine. The right-hand lane, DC84, is Derek Penfold, 750cc Triumph drag machine. And Balkin getting away just a little ahead of Penfold, but Penfold making it up in a mid-range charge, and he takes it in the right-hand lane. And Balkin running on the ample space here at Long Larsley. But all over for him. Here we see the burnout technique adopted by the motorcycles. It is possible to do a free burnout, that is to just sit the bike in a pool of liquid and spin the rear tire, but it takes some holding and you have to be a brave man. That's not to say that these riders aren't brave. They prefer to put the bike up against something solid, open the throttle, drop the clutch and get that big slick spinning, get it hot and sticky. These two bikes selecting not to carry the rear wheel, as it were, to the line. The tyre sticky, they can pick up bits of grip, and this can just upset the effectiveness of getting the power to the ground, but they want to go this way, so there we go. Left-hand lane, Ted Dunmo, 750cc Triumph. The Triumph is a very favourite engine. Both bikes away beautifully. Sid Austin in the right-hand lane on the Savage. getting it all over Dunmo. Dunmo into trouble, and Austin taking the run in ample fashion. Austin's winning PT there, 6.75 seconds, and Dunmo trailing at 8.35, so he's out of the running, and Austin goes forward. The beautiful plate scheme of the Pegasus drag bike AC1, the largest capacity allowed in motorcycle racing. Ian Messenger is the rider, the bike is a twin engine device, two Dawkins, total capacity 1,656 cc's. He uses nitromethane fuel, a super chemical, produces massive power as compared with ordinary petrol. The 27-year-old sales manager, and he's taking on in the left-hand lane Mick Ward in a big blue, and again a twin-engine bike, 1500cc, 2750cc trials, and a nitro burner. The big machines of drag racing. And Messenger withdraws, and Mick Ward goes through at full chat nonetheless. All he has to do is to complete the course and advance to the next round, but he gives us a show, really lays it off. Goes down the course in 6.73 seconds at 116 miles per hour, terminal speed, across the 8th mile finish line. On the start now, Ray Elgar. Now these bikes are street machines. They run in the street division, not pure competition as we've just seen. They carry, as you can see, a lot of the prerequisites of street riding. Some of them are run off the road, some are brought to meetings and built to class. And just look like they're a street bike. You wait till you see these machines move, you'll see that they are something else. The left-hand lane features Ray Elgar, and that's a 1000cc Vincent, the famous Vinny engine of some years ago, still going strong. The right-hand lane, Terry Rebel on Assassin. That's a 1000cc's too, but this time a four-cylinder Kawasaki. And the wind light flashes in the right-hand lane. Elgar dumped there by Rebel, and the Kawasaki doing it to the Vincent. Kawasaki 7.86 in the right-hand lane at 91 miles per hour. Down the far-up road, the pro competition machines. A division of drag racing made up of small funny cars, competition alternates, and dragsters. Mike Hall sits behind this massive Chrysler, on top the big GMC supercharger, modified extensively for drag racing. In this class, he's not allowed the explosive nitromethane fuel. He must contain himself to methanol or alcohol. That's because he's running a supercharger on the engine. The machine in the right-hand lane is that of Pat Cuss from Wiltshire, and he has forgone the advantage of a supercharged engine using an injected 354 cubic inch Chrysler. And this allows him to opt for nitromethane fuel, which, as I said before, gives massive increase in power. Mike Hall announces the arrival at Longmaston with a thundering power run there and his burnout. But meanwhile, as we hear the sound of his car, the right hand lane, it's all eyes on Pat Cuss. Gets the slicks into smoke, and the beautiful rat catcher, top dragster, accelerates across the line, catches it, slows down, keeps the engine running. He clutches crew members back. These cars fitted with a direct drive transmission, no gearbox, and no reverse. Don't carry weight, it equals horsepower. They say that drag racing crews are the fittest people in motor racing because they have to do a lot of this kind of thing. Once again, you can see the crewman just giving some directions to the driver in order to get him right back into the rubber that he laid on the ground during the burnout. Here we go. Across the start line. Now leave the car. It's now all down to the driver. He must stay to the machine in the starting beat properly. If he does this wrong, he could be disqualified from the race. Matt Gus is a very experienced racer. This stage. Cast just out of stage, get into stage. Left hand lane to Baxter in the right hand lane, and Commodore's corner to Michael. And Hall going all over the place, but he's holding on to it. And still takes it away from Pancas. Michael just getting really out of shape there. So a win for Michael takes him through to the next round of the pro competition elimination. And it's the muscle cars, the top machines in the production bodied classes. We have a beautiful pro stock car, a pro number 7, driven by Gary Goggin, and he calls it Go Go Guard. And there he goes into a burnout. 7 litres of Chevrolet V8 in this Chevy Camaro car. Extensively or totally rebuilt for drag racing. Very much lightened, and a lot of technical tricks built into the suspension and the whole setup of the car specifically for drag racing. A very popular class in the sport. In the right hand lane, Big John Leinster, his 4.7 litre Mustang. Goggin blips it, lurches to the line, blips it again. Leinster follows suit. First man to stage, does he have the advantage? Doesn't he have the advantage? It's a question of psychology. Leinster takes his time, stages. The lights are running, and away goes Goggin with a beautiful start, and John Leinster. Finding no clutch at all, it would appear, as his car follows Goggin. He sees Go Go Guard longer. 6.79 seconds and 109 miles per hour for Gary Goggin in the Go Go Guard Pro Stocker. He turns off the track, heads back to the pits. Pleased that he's put the first mark up against John Leinster. From Sutton Coldfield, Jerry Cookson in the Immaculate Joker Dragster. That's the name of the car. And this is a 1,000cc, it's had over 1,000cc, about 1070cc of supercharged BLMC 4-cylinder engine. And is a classic example of an all-out competition car built around English engines. Home-produced components. In the right-hand lane, another top car in the smaller dragster ranks, that of John Whitmore. Similarly powered with a four-cylinder BMC engine, is a Stride A series. Left, right goes Whitmore, and he holds on to it. Cannot keep up with him, and that's a bit of a surprise, because Jerry Cookson would have been the man to place money on in that particular race, I feel, if you were amongst the people who know all the answers in the pits. But John Whitmore leading very, very well there on the green, and taking out Jerry Cookson on the first of a three race runoff between the two of them. Next we should be seeing the very, very beautiful car of Tony Anderson and Russ Carpenter. Russ driving the machine today. And this is the quickest all-British dragster in the world. It's a 2.5 litre Daimler V8 powered machine. Supercharged. Nitromethane burning, of course. You have a very quick ET, high speed. You need this fuel. If you don't want to run in that class, you could race in another division where the costs perhaps are a little lower. But as in drag racing, Raskolnikov turns around very gently, checking the strip for a traction situation. And another unique machine in the right-hand lane, the first V12 Jaguar to be used in drag racing. Alan Sharp, the driver. Of course, the car best drinker, and that's a sign to everyone that he disregards the all-powerful nitro and prefers to get his excellent times on methanol only. Both cars stay leaving together, but Ross Carpenter pulling well, driving through the lights into the parachute, and takes the win from Shaw. Ross Carpenter, 6.82 seconds at 118 miles per hour. And for Alan Sharp, terminal speed of 103, and a losing time, which is quicker in fact, but the mid range and top end charge of Carpenter's car, as you see there in camera, pulling it through the line. So Sharp went through at 6.21, but lost to a 6.82 for Carpenter. Parachutes drop off. Repacking job to do. Parachutes in drag racing, they are not for show. They are the most efficient way of stopping these very rapidly moving machines. Competition all the time. Panic, one of the star cars in the sport. Thousands of fans follow this car. Driven by Clyde Page, it's a 427 cubic inch. Chevrolet-powered Model T, and in the right-hand lane, this car world-famous, the Stripteaser minivan competition auto, 3.8-litre Jaguar, through carburetors, no supercharging, carbureted car, of the official domestic, the quickest mini in the world. Over the quarter mile course, 10.2 seconds. Speeds in the 130s. Here today, over the 8th, he'll get a lower ET, but of course he's not going so far. An interesting race here because the 2.8 litre Jaguar, considerably smaller of course, than the massive V8 in the Page Brothers car. Incidentally, Clyde Page and David Page, the brothers, share the driving chores. I see that it's David who is at the helm today. And in the picture there, Gary Page, the third of the brothers. It's a family job, this one. A real family scene. They burn out, they flip, they crack the throttles, they spin the tires, they're ready to go. They edge forward, watching each other like gladiators, looking for the glint in the eye to see the other machine take the first move. They wait for a good safe green, and the minivan flying out the course, really moving with the pace car, just taking it through the lights. Well, a very, very close race indeed. Drag racing has the class for every type of vehicle. Although this is an American car, it's a production machine, and every kind of production car and motorcycle can be raced. This is Chris Haslam's 351 cubic inch Mustang. It's a 69 model. This is regular street transport. It's 5.5 litres. A little anxious about the petrol bills these days, but I think he puts up with that so he can come racing. Will we leave Chris Haslam, or will we be seeing a little later, I think, to look at this very pretty Austin Ruby. Comes from Nottingham, prepared by the Sheebles brothers. And as you can see, the name is Stagecoach. Left-hand side, his opponent, the National Drag Racing Club Junior Competition Auto Champion in 1974, Brian Mundy in Optimist. 3.8-litre Jaguar. Shaking and shuddering the little comp order as he burns out through the bleach. left, miss. Into reverse, bring her back. You can see just vibrating under the back of the car there, the wheelie bar. One on each side of the car to stop the machine lifting its wheels high in the air on a very savage takeoff. Steeple stages first. Mundy. Coming in. That's fair. And both cars running the tracks rather good. And a win for the little optimist. Not more than left hand lane in 7.91 seconds at 94 miles per hour. Coming forward now from the far up roads is Chris Haslam in his 351 cubic inch Mustang. Chris runs a couple of boutiques up in the Coventry area and his newly found sport, drag racing. Due to the strips this year, he hasn't missed a race since the first one he attended. A production car, albeit an American one, but of course in drag racing, many, many UK and European cars raced. It's perhaps the most inexpensive way to get into motor racing, to bring a production car with a strip. And Chris Haslam's boasting and they're getting on with the job. Tearing down the 8 mile. There's the lights. In 11.18 seconds and 72 miles per hour. The Castrol sponsored Hustler Racing Pro Comp car of Peter Barnett. It's a B funny car. The big fuel burning machines we saw earlier are the big brothers of this car. But this one's fairly unique because if you just look in the cockpit, you can see the roll cage as the car is being moved into its parking position prior to making its run, and one of the young ladies on the team has been given the ride, I see, but you can see that she's sitting in the roll cage there and is in fact in front of the engine. And it's quite a unique car, the only machine in England that's in competition at the moment with that layout in a funny car. In fact, one of perhaps a mere half dozen in the United in the world, including the United States. Santa Claus never had a sleigh like this. David Taylor on the the 360cc Voltago jumps on the step, throttles the engine up, special handlebars in the rear end, and there he goes up in the air. He nearly loses it, gets into a nasty wheel wobble there. Back on to the ground, terra firma for the front wheel. He's happier, looking around, checking everything out. He hasn't lost anything from the machine. Holding the bike. So, consummate skill. Lines up. And what an unusual sight this is to see this man apparently being towed along on his feet by his driverless motorcycle. Speed up to sufficient. Rotate and into the air. They're selecting another gear, no, putting it out of gear as he completes the course.